Welcome to What the Fantasy, and I am Brandon Hay at HayB3. I will be solo tonight as Zare had something come up, so we just wanted to keep the pod going since we've missed a couple weeks, and we guested on Shall We Football. I know we've been kind of on and off, so we just wanted to make sure we get more consistent with putting this pod out weekly, so there will be no stream tonight, but we will drop this podcast on Thursday. So this week was a very exciting week in the NFL. A lot of close games. There's the Browns Chargers game that was very back and forth, where the Chargers ended up winning. There also was the Patriots and Texans game, kind of was closer than we thought it would be. The Bills and Chiefs had a weather delay, but then eventually played, and the Bills were very impressive. And to close out the week, we had that comeback by the Ravens against the Colts. It looked like they were dead in late into the third quarter, but Lamar Jackson worked some of his magic, and the Colts kind of played a little too conservative and ended up losing that game in overtime. So what I wanted to start tonight's pod with is just a little talk about Lamar Jackson, because after the game, there's a lot of victory laps on Twitter about him being a, you know, this passer, and everyone that says he's not a good passer should be quiet now, and everything like that. So I just wanted to say a few things about that. First of all, very impressive comeback. He was very, you know, accurate. He got the ball out. He was explosive, you know, leading the team back like that. You can't deny that it was a very impressive performance. But I will say he has had performances this year in wins, but that have not been overly great. Against Detroit, he had a 51% completion percentage, 287 pass yards, one TD, one interception. He did have 58 yards rushing, but that was a game where they had to have a Justin Tucker long 66-yard field goal that bounced off the uprights to get that win. And then against Denver, he threw under 60% at 59%. He did have 316 pass yards, one TD, 28 yards rushing. That is not a bad game by any means, but I just wanted to say he had this great game. We can say he had this great game, but I personally don't think that is what you want from Lamar to have to do week in and week out. That just does not fit his skill sets to what that offense should really be doing. And also with the injuries to the receivers, Rashad Bateman should be coming back. Sammy Watkins, like always, got hurt in the middle of this game with a hamstring. It does look like Marquise Brown is kind of coming into his own. So whenever Bateman comes back with him and Brown and Andrews, they should have a good set of receivers. So I wanted to kind of go more in depth into the Lamar, you know, my take at least on Lamar. For one, he can be a great quarterback and still have some accuracy issues and still be an above average passer, but not an elite passer. I just don't think he's ever going to be an elite passer like a Brady or a Mahomes, or even, you know, as good a passer as Herbert or Rodgers. But that doesn't mean he can't be a great quarterback. And he is improving every year. I'll be the first one to say that. Highest completion so far this year was 67%. Highest yards per attempt at 9.2. Highest yards per completion at 13.6. And like I said, that's even without some of the receivers this year. One thing that I found interesting is with the missing running backs and some of the injuries with wide receivers, I know they wanted to expand that passing game, but I thought until they got all the wide receivers healthy, they would let Lamar run a little bit more. It seems like they're trying to scale that back, which I understand, but some of the things that Lamar does, he just needs to have more designed runs, you know, at times, because there have been a couple slow starts in the first half, but he kind of gets going in the second half. And another thing that he does that's great is he escapes pressure so well. So the receivers can keep working and they get open. So he doesn't technically have to throw pinpoint passes like Brady or, you know, even Mahomes or Rodgers, because when he scrambles, it stresses the defense, and then those receivers are more wide open. So he just needs to throw it to the right guy. So that's really not a knock on him. He's just this different quarterback, just probably one of the best mobile quarterbacks we've seen, running quarterbacks. His passing is far beyond what Michael Vick was, and I think he's just as electric running the ball. So I just wanted to say that. I think we can say that he had a great game. He is getting better as a passer, but I don't think we have to say he's a great passer yet. And I think it can kind of be somewhere in the middle between the people that say that he doesn't get enough credit for his passing and the people that say he's a horrible passer. He definitely isn't a horrible passer. Somewhere in between, probably closer to the, you know, above the, you know, middle of the road. But also, I kind of wanted to say who I would take over Lamar right now. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. I would take Kyler. Kyler's made great strides. He's not as good of a running threat as Lamar, but still a great running threat. And he seems to improve his passing and decision-making this year. After the first game, I was kind of a little worried about Josh Allen, but it seems like he is still doing what he can do. You know, he runs the ball not nearly as much as Lamar, but he's a lot of their running game. And he just seems to find the different receivers. He's not even just depending on Stephon Diggs this year. And then there's two quarterbacks that I will take ahead of Lamar, but it's very close. It's Dak Prescott. I think he's a better passer, obviously not as good of a rusher. But it's, you know, very close because what Lamar can do can kind of change that. Same with Justin Herbert. He is not as good of a runner, but he is mobile. And the things he is just doing in, you know, a year and a half of being in league is just remarkable. A lot of the passes he was making against the Browns was just incredible. And then I would take Lamar over Russell Wilson right now, even before the, you know, injury. There just seems to be some things that just aren't clicking all the way in that Seattle offense. And Lamar just seems to be more explosive, even though Russell has the more accurate passing, but not by nearly as much as we once thought. So kind of transitioning from Lamar to, you know, future running quarterbacks, since Lamar's come in the league, teams want to get the more mobile quarterbacks, get the ones that can kind of duplicate that type of success. So for 2022, the quarterback class is kind of looking down, as, you know, in college, Spencer Rattler has struggled, and, you know, he might be transferring from Oklahoma after Caleb Williams led them back against Texas. Sam Hill had a bad first game in North Carolina, has disappointed, but I think he's still shown enough to be, you know, a top 10 drafted quarterback and be a franchise quarterback. Then after that, there's, you know, Dennis Ritter. He's kind of been up and down. Carson Strong, a smaller G5 school, and he has great accuracy and strong arm, but he does not have that mobility. And then there comes Malik Willis, who left Auburn and went to Liberty. He's been a big topic of a lot of people on Twitter and in the community, kind of propping him up. So I kind of wanted to discuss, since Lamar had this great game, discuss what Malik Willis is and what I think about his NFL future. A lot of people are saying he could be the number one quarterback taken. And I, even though this is a down class, I just don't see that, because he was, you know, he's not been as good as Lamar. He has played worse competition, doesn't seem to be as explosive and make as big, you know, big a plays as Lamar. Against this lower competition this year, he has only had one game over 250 pass yards. He has gotten better with interceptions, but did have 3 interceptions this past game against Middle Tennessee State. Better completion is around 68% from 64% last year. It does seem they're doing a concerted effort for him to throw the ball more, but he is really not running the ball that much less than last year. It's only one less carry a game. So another thing for Malik Willis is I think a team is going to have to understand what he is and give him time to develop like Lamar. So I could totally see Malik Willis going near the end of the first or even the middle to the end of the first, because I know a team is going to fall in love with what he can do, his athleticism. There's 2 to 3 throws a game where he just makes amazing throws. Like against Syracuse, he struggled in the first half, but he made some throws in the second half that almost led them to victory. But as you saw in that Syracuse game, what they did is they spied him. They played where they took away his first read, and I think he struggles on making the reads after that, like a lot of college quarterbacks. But that's one thing that kind of he struggles with. So I think they're going to have to – a team that drafts him is going to have to be like the Ravens, who took him in, and then when they decided they were going to with Lamar, they built an offense fully around him with read options, tons of running backs, you know, a good tight end over the middle, and what they tried to get this year with Rashad Bateman, who's going to be that more short to intermediate guy that can win, you know, and kind of just go get the ball. So I think that's what they're going to have to do. And Malik Willis's running ability, I think, will provide him some time with that. But as we've seen with Jalen Hurts also, that fantasy-wise, that rushing ability can really make up for, you know, the accuracy issues passing the ball. But in an NFL standpoint, there's still things to that I don't think the Eagles are helping Jalen Hurts as much with, you know, getting him in the proper scheme, not running the ball enough. But that's just kind of my thoughts on Malik Willis. I think he is trending up, but I don't think he's nearly the, you know, can't miss prospect that people are bumping him up. And if he is forced to play right away, I think there might be some struggles and that could hurt his development. As we've seen with this class this year, you know, we thought they were all can't miss prospects. I know it's still early, but some of them have struggled. You know, Zach Wilson hasn't necessarily looked great other than, you know, the third and fourth quarter in the win against the Titans. Trevor Lawrence has been up and down. He seems to be getting better. Trey Lance has started to play. There were ups and downs in that loss to Arizona. Matt Jones has shown some good poise, but I think he still has, you know, ways to go, but he looks like he could be their quarterback of the future. And Justin Fields, I think, also has gotten better, but I also think that that Bears offense has kind of held him back. But the main thing is just the rookies, even though we might think they're ready, they're not always capable of just coming in there like Justin Herbert did last year and Joe Burrow. I think when there are quarterbacks that do that in a year, then we get we take that for granted and think that all rookie quarterbacks are going to do that. Kind of the same with Tua battling with injuries and just learning the quarterback position. Sometimes we need to understand that those quarterbacks need time. So now we'll move into the fun kind of part of the show. And today, since it's just myself, I will go over my top 5 cartoons. So I excluded more adult-type cartoons like The Simpsons and Family Guy. This is more just from childhood. So we'll start with number 5 for me is Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. My family was big into Disney growing up, going to the park, and we just watched the Disney Channel and all those movies a lot. And I really loved that cartoon. I actually, in college, we got one of the channels that had all the cartoons, and I watched some of those, and some of those were not as entertaining as I remember, but Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers, I still love that. The one character on Chip 'n Dale that I loved was Monterey. He always obviously would eat cheese. And when I was younger, I would take a piece of Singles cheddar cheese and eat it like he did on the cartoon. You'll have to check out the cartoon to see what I'm talking about. But you know, that was that's number 5 for me. So now number 4 is Tiny Toons. So I also love Looney Tunes, but since I was younger, I kind of associated, I guess, or gravitated more to the younger version of that with Tiny Toons. Same thing as Looney Tunes, you know, they even had some of the Looney Tunes characters on there. But, you know, I just really, really liked all that. And, you know, had instead of Bugs Bunny, had Buster Bunny, had Plucky Duck instead of Donald Duck. Not Donald Duck, Daffy Duck. That's right, Daffy Duck. Hampton instead of Porky Pig. It was just entertaining for me. And then even in my 20s, I liked it. And my brother got me a bought set of the Tiny Toons of the DVD that I still watch to this day. So now number three is DuckTales. So I like the original version of DuckTales. I can't get into the newer version. I think the animation is just weird for me. But I used to love to watch DuckTales, watch the movies that were on the VHS tapes. I love that. The one with the genie, that was a little duck also. Yeah, I just love that cartoon. You know, I've tried to watch. I haven't really been able to find that on TV, but I know there are some on YouTube. So I, you know, when I have free time, sometimes I'm bored, I'll catch some of those. If you haven't watched DuckTales, you should. It's very entertaining. Scrooge McDuck is a very rich duck, and he has his, you know, three nephews, Donald's kids, and his niece, and they, you know, different things. And, you know, the enemies in the show, the Bugle Boys, are kind of your normal bumbling villains. So it's always entertaining for me. So then number two, which was hard to not put this at number one, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've liked, you know, all the movies and the cartoons. The cartoons were great. I liked in the cartoons that it was more lighthearted than in some of the movies. In the movies, they made Raphael more kind of mean and not as friendly, where, you know, he was sarcastic in the cartoon, but he still got along with everyone, which I liked. And also with the cartoon, I had all the different types of toys, the, you know, the van, the pizza thrower, you know, the Mendodrome and all that. And, you know, some of my greatest memories as a child is just me and my dad playing with that, and then my mom coming home from either the grocery store or something and seeing a big mess, and my dad just yelling, "Don't worry, we'll clean it up later." So, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it never gets old, and I love that. And number one for me is Darkwing Duck. I dressed up as Darkwing Duck once when I was in elementary school. My mom made the costume, got, you know, a special mask for it. I love that that cartoon. There's extended version where it's the Justice Ducks, so the Justice League, and that brought in, you know, a lot of the characters from other cartoons, and then it was against the you know, Evil Five or whatever, and it had Darkwing Duck's nemesis, Nemeduck, and you know, a lot of his villains. So I love that. The video game I loved also, even though I found it very difficult. I don't think I'd ever beat it. So those are my top five cartoons. Ones that barely missed the cut was Tailspin, which had Baloo in there, where he was a pilot and just would go through all kinds of shenanigans. Hey Arnold, that was more when I was older, but my brother watched that a lot. As we're 7 years apart, so I watched a bunch of that, and Animaniacs. I loved a lot of those, the different episodes on there. So so those are the top five cartoons. So now to kind of close out the show with just myself, I would go through, before the season, I ranked my top five players for Dynasty. And I just kind of wanted to talk about where I thought that might change now. I know it's just been, you know, 5 weeks, but still we could kind of discuss, I could kind of discuss how my thinking has kind of changed. So first quarterbacks, one, I went Patrick Mahomes, two, Josh Allen, three, Dak Prescott, four, Lamar Jackson, five, Kyler Murray. So with this, I still think Mahomes is number one, but I think the gap has gotten smaller, and we've seen some defenses just kind of caught up with the Kansas City offense. They can't seem to get that third option. They keep on bringing in different people. Mecole Hardman, I just don't think he is going to be a consistent producer unless Tyreek Hill misses some time, because they have similar skill set in the speed and what they try to do with them. They brought in Sammy Watkins, and he just was hurt too much. They're bringing in Josh Gordon now, so we'll see with that. But he's still number one, but the gap is a lot less. So Josh Allen, like I said, that first game, I was concerned that maybe last year was just kind of anomaly, and he's going to have that accuracy issues similar to what Lamar, the things that I said Lamar kind of struggles with at times. But he seems to, you know, continue to the past few games show how good a player he is, you know, how he can pass the ball. Sometimes he gets in trouble because he tries to run out of the pocket because he makes those crazy throws and he can get sacks. But I think it's more impressive that he is not just forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs this year. He's getting it to Emmanuel Sanders. He's going to Dawson Knox. Some of those other receivers, Gabriel Davis, are still around. He just makes all those kind of plays. And he's tough in his running ability. I would probably move Dak down. I still really like how he plays, but he seems to be at his best when they're running the ball more. And just with the, you know, that big injury last year, and you know, I still have some current concerns about him, but he's still, you know, a top six or seven quarterback for me. Lamar Jackson, like I said, is right around that, but I would put Kyler Murray at three now. I thought last year Kyler sometimes showed some accuracy issues and seemed to run too much. And this year I've watched quite a bit of the Cardinals, and he seems to have improved his decision-making. I think the drafting of Rondale Moore has helped open up the offense a little more. And even though A.J. Green is not the same player he used to be, I think he is a big-bodied receiver that Kyler can just throw the ball up to. And he's kind of helped in certain situations where Kyler would only lock into DeAndre Hopkins because he's that bigger receiver, and now he has AJ Green too, and it's actually helped Christian Kirk to kind of open up some spots too, since they have more receivers. So that's kind of, I might move that around a little bit. And also, as I've mentioned, you know, before, Justin Herbert's right in the mix with those five. So now running backs, I went one with Christian McCaffrey. Not a big surprise. Most people would do that. Went two with Jonathan Taylor, three, Alvin Kamara, four, DeAndre Swift, which is a lot higher probably than most people would have. And then five, Saquon Barkley. So let's just go with Saquon. He was showing some signs before he got hurt. I know it's just sprained ankle. It's just kind of some freak injuries, but with all these injuries, you start to have to question where he will be, if you can depend on him. And also that Giants offense just does not be able to sustain a success. The way they're going now, there might be some management and coaching changes. So who knows what that offense really looks going forward. I do like DeAndre Swift. I don't know if the Lions are holding him back a little bit because of, you know, his injuries. He's had some groin, injuries. He's played through them. They kind of go between him and Jamal Williams, kind of like the Saints did. There are some games where DeAndre Swift gets a lot of touches, and I just would like to see him get the ball even more. But he's still a very good player, and you know, he has shown early in the season he can have some of those really big games. And if he can stay healthy, I think he should stay up there. Alvin Kamara, I was worried with Drew Brees retiring. But other than the one game where he didn't get a target, I believe, it seems like the Saints are running the ball more, and he's getting the ball more, and he's still getting targets. I don't think he's going to have those huge games like he did with Drew Brees, but he's still up there in the top five. Jonathan Taylor really seemed to get going this past Monday night and saw his speed with that long swing pass or screen pass that he took for 75 yards for a touchdown. What I will say with the Colts is I understand sharing the load at the running back position, but sometimes I think they do it too much. I think he should get more carries throughout the game. There's a whole series where it's either Marlon Mack or Nyheim Hines, which I understand, you know, spelling Taylor, especially with Hines, but I understand Reich really likes Marlon Mack, but it just seems Jonathan Taylor is just such a great running back that he needs to get more carries as the game goes along. And then Christian McCaffrey, obviously when he's on the field, he is just so versatile running the ball and catching the ball in the backfield. Second straight year with injuries, so you have to wonder if his, you know, body is breaking down, how they're going to do with usage. Kind of sometimes when running backs start to get all those injuries, they kind of, you know, go down. So a couple other running backs that kind of the outside, Derrick Henry, he just shows that he can keep on going even though people say he's going to decline. Another Austin Eckler this year with the new offense. He's a PPR machine, and he can still run the ball between the tackles. So he's another guy that probably would possibly replace Saquon Barkley if I move Saquon Barkley down. So now the receivers. One, I had AJ Brown. Two, Justin Jefferson. Three, Tyreek Hill. Four, Calvin Ridley. Five, DeAndre Hopkins. A.J. Brown has not done as well as I thought to start off the season. I didn't necessarily think the Julio Jones addition would hurt him. I think the biggest thing with A.J. Brown is just he constantly has nagging injuries, and I just wonder if that's always something he's going to have to deal with in the way that offense is more run-heavy. I think he's still an elite receiver. He just might have a lower ceiling, and I might, you know, when I end up updating my ranks, need to drop him down. Justin Jefferson had a slow start, but it seems that he's starting to pick it up the last couple games. I think as long as the offense is the way it is there and with Thielen still being productive, his ceiling might not be top three, might be more like top five or six. So that's another one. Tyreek Hill still has amazing games. I think he's one of those players that he's going to finish very, very high, but there's going to be the problem sometimes where he's going to be a couple games where defenses just double or even triple team him, but the sum total is just going to be near the top. There's just going to be a couple games here and there where he just doesn't hit that, but they are so creative how they get him the ball. He's still top five. Calvin Ridley, it's been interesting to begin with. He's still getting targets. It just seems like he's not having as great of a start. Some of that is with the decline of Matt Ryan, and he missed his past game. But I see him continually to be up there, but maybe the expectations were a little too high for him. And then DeAndre Hopkins, he's great with the contested catches, bat shoulder throws. He has been dealing with some nagging injuries this year too. And I think with Kyler spreading the ball out more, he just is not necessarily going to have that deep production. And I just want to say the reason Davante Adams was not on this list was when I originally did this, it was when Aaron Rodgers was in limbo. And even after that, I'm not sure what is in the future for Davante with, you know, Rodgers maybe either retiring, moving on, and also Davante maybe moving on. So who knows if he'll have that chemistry with the Nets quarterback. But wide receivers are just so deep. It was very hard to kind of measure those. Another player I just want to mention is Ja'Marr Chase. He's crazy efficient with those targets from Joe Burrow and all that concern of the preseason about him drops and about the narrative that, you know, with the differences in the balls, and he's doing fine in regular games. And then we'll finish up with tight ends. This shouldn't be too difficult. There's a clear, you know, elite tier for tight ends. Got Travis Kelce. I started with Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, and Kyle Pitts. I will say that, you know, I'm fine with those five. I would probably move Mark Andrews three now. I was under the impression or assumption that with Rashad Bateman coming in, that they were just going to throw the ball more to the wide receivers and not Andrews. I guess we'll find out that about that when Bateman finally gets on the field. But it seems like Andrews is one of Lamar's favorite targets, and he's just such a good route runner that he's constantly going to be there. And just does it not seem like George Kittle just gets the constant targets that all those top three tight ends necessarily get. Maybe with the move to Trey Lance in the future, that might change. And, you know, George Kittle is hurt again, so that's somewhat of a concern. I like TJ Hockenson. He's had some good games. The targets have kind of gone down, and some of that is I just think the limitations that Jared Goff has sometimes, and maybe teams paying more attention to him. So then that's opening up some of the wide receivers. Like Cephas has kind of gone off a little bit, and St. Brown starting to come up, and even Khalif Raymond has had some good games. And then fifth, Kyle Pitts. I think you know, he has a slow start, but from what you can see, it's pretty much Ridley and no one else. Well, I guess there's Cordarrelle Patterson who comes out of the backfield, but with Pitts, he had a breakout game this last game, and you just kind of saw what he can do. So I think, you know, he just might have had a slow start, but we'll see if he can pick it up the rest of the season. And another player I'll just mention is Noah Fant. I think he is a great tight end, and even though Bridgewater has played better for at the quarterback position than they've had in the past, if they can get a legitimate, you know, very good quarterback, I think he'll kind of skyrocket also. There's just that constant inconsistency with quarterback play he's had to deal with since he's been in the NFL. So I'll probably update those dynasty rankings maybe midway through the season. So that's just our show today. I hope it was fine, just me going solo. So I am Brandon Hay at HeyB3, and we'll catch you next week, hopefully with both of us.